Hey everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to the Letters and Layers podcast. Happy New Year. Happy 2026. Happy 100th episode of this podcast. Like, how did we get here? How did I get here? Whoa. You know, this is a huge milestone. And I honestly didn't really have much planned for it. I was just going to record like any other day. But I just want to take a moment and express gratitude for everyone who's listened up to this point, regardless of when you started tuning in, regardless of, you know, I'm just super thankful. I remember when this was literally just an idea, like 4.5 years ago now, almost. And we are 4 years in, 4 years plus in. We are now 100 episodes deep. And I am excited to see what continues to come from this podcast. I feel like last year, 2025, was the best year for the podcast so far. I was really proud. I've been proud of all the content I've put out, but in kind of going back and reviewing everything that I did in 2025, I'm super proud of the content I put out last year. And I think, you know, we were recognized, this podcast was recognized for that content by the Black Podcasting Association by being awarded the best personal development podcast of 2025. So it meant a lot to be recognized in that way. And at the same time, it has given me renewed motivation to continue. And yeah, I think the timing of this 100th episode is divine. That's the word that came to my mind. It's just like first episode of the year, 2026, hitting 100. Like, it just seems so divinely aligned. With what exactly? I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's something I find out in the future. But it just feels so complete and so whole and just so perfect in this moment. So yes, thank you guys so much. A lot of podcasts don't hit triple digits. I feel like hitting 100 episodes for me in the beginning just sounded impossible. Like I didn't think I was gonna last this long, to be quite honest. But just over the years, what this podcast has grown to mean to me, and then the encouragement I've gotten from like friends and family and listeners that have just stumbled upon it, I can't be more grateful. And all of that has kept me going. So I think if I continue to talk about it, I might start to get emotional. So I think we'll move on. Thank you so much. Congratulations to this podcast for hitting 100 episodes. Not every podcast is award winning. Not every podcast has hit triple digits. So whether we are a small platform or a large platform, this platform has already set itself apart. And whatever recognition it is yet to receive in the future will only be overdue, honestly, because I see so much more to come with this platform. It's been so good to me, and for as long as I can, I will continue with it. So I hope if you're listening to this episode that you had a good holiday season. Mine was pretty low key. I mentioned a couple episodes ago that I went to New York for Thanksgiving. So typically what we've been doing, my husband and I, the past few years, is just keeping it local, staying in Chicago for Christmas. That is oftentimes determined by his work schedule as a medical resident. And last year, December, that just passed, he worked on Christmas, but thankfully not the whole day. It was mostly just like the morning and afternoon, so we were still able to spend the evening together, which I appreciated. I tried to make braised Jamaican oxtail, and it actually came out so good. So good. I was so proud of myself. I was licking my fingers. It was so flavorful. What I ultimately ended up doing was I made jerk chicken. I think I mentioned this on maybe the last episode or the episode before that. I used the Flavorful Cookbook by Nathaniel Smith to make the jerk chicken for a holiday party. So I still had a good amount of jerk marinade left in the fridge in like a mason jar. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to use the remainder of the jerk marinade for oxtail. So that's what I did. I bought oxtail from Costco, and then I cleaned it and I marinated it for like 2.5 days. It was just chilling in the fridge. And then the night before, on Christmas Eve, I, you know, kind of did the whole thing with searing it in the pan. And then I added broth. I added beef broth and Worcestershire sauce. So hard to say. Beef broth, Worcestershire sauce, ketchup, bay leaves, thyme, I think some all-purpose seasoning, and whatever jerk marinade that was left in the bowl where the oxtail was, I added a little bit of water, kind of swirled it around and put it in the braising pan. And yeah, I let it cook for 3.5 hours in the oven. When I tell you, oof, I surprised myself. I was so proud of myself because the jerk marinade was pretty much the only thing that I followed step by step with the recipe, but I kind of winged it with everything else. Like I seared the meat, and then I didn't really even measure anything else. Like the beef broth and the Worcestershire sauce and the ketchup. Like I just kind of let my intuition guide me. But it just came out so good. I'm just so proud of myself. Will I make it again? Definitely. Probably not. It's probably not going to be like a super frequent thing because it is involved and oxtail is not cheap. But it was so good. I'll probably do it, you know, for like special occasions, holiday stuff, if people come over so they can enjoy. And then I found this very useful single serving macaroni and cheese recipe on YouTube, because oftentimes, especially with the holidays, you get inundated with macaroni and cheese recipes, but they're usually for like family or, you know, big gatherings. Sometimes you are not part of a big gathering or you're not with your family during the holidays. So I really appreciated this content creator who was like, the people that might be spending the holidays alone or maybe with one or two other people, this recipe is for you. And I love macaroni and cheese. I love it so much. I can't eat it all the time. Clearly because it's so indulgent. But I was like, okay, I'm going to make this macaroni and cheese recipe and enjoy it with my oxtail. And it was so good. It was so good. It was so good. I enjoyed myself. As far as food goes for Christmas, I enjoyed myself for sure. So yeah, I bought eggnog. I know everyone doesn't like eggnog, but I love eggnog. It just tastes like sweet melted ice cream to me. So I enjoyed some eggnog. I had some pastries. It was a low-key Christmas, and I, you know, enjoyed spending time with my husband when he got back from work. New Year's was low-key too. Didn't really do anything too special or crazy that day, which is fine. Honestly, as far as this holiday season goes, I was just happy to have some time off from work and not work like my full work week. So yeah, we are back in the swing of things as far as work is concerned. I had a full work week last week, and this week is unique because I have a work trip for a retreat this will be my last traveling endeavor before I have the baby. So I just hit the third trimester over the weekend. So that is a big deal. That is a big deal. If you know me, if you've listened to me on this podcast, you know I can really be super reflective and go down a rabbit hole mentally and really think about things. So just, you know, kind of thinking about getting to this point and feeling like it went so fast and knowing that the end of this trimester does not mean another trimester as far as gestation goes, because the, you know, colloquially people refer to the postpartum as the fourth trimester, but as far as like being pregnant, there is no other trimester after the third. Like, this trimester ends with a baby on the other side of my body. So I was thinking a lot about that. I was thinking a lot about what I want this third trimester to look like for me, you know, within my control, because, you know, everyone's pregnancy experience is different. And some people really have to take it easy, not just in the third trimester, but like their whole pregnancy, like they're not maybe as able to be as active as they'd like. But I'm thankful to say that things for the most part have been smooth this pregnancy, and I'm feeling good. I have reprioritized just moving, specifically walking, so I can keep my hips loose and mobile, you know, try to prevent any unnecessary stiffness. Stretching. To celebrate my first day in the third trimester, I went to the gym. I got on the treadmill. I was on there for like 50 minutes, just, you know, walk. I didn't do anything too crazy, but walking, varying speeds, varying inclines. I used a Peloton workout to kind of help guide me through, and I felt really good after. Hydrating really helps me personally. And I know I did a segment on water consumption a few episodes ago. I will reiterate it again, that getting adequate water is underrated for just how you feel in your body and how optimally your body functions. Because I swear, if I am dehydrated, I feel slower, I feel sluggish, I feel like my general mental state is not as balanced, or, you know, and even physically, like I feel like I'm more prone to cramping in my midsection if I'm dehydrated. But if I'm on it with my water, I almost at times forget I'm pregnant. Like, that's how good I can feel. So I'm really prioritizing that in this third trimester, along with movement. It's getting pretty cold here in Chicago, so I'm gonna have to depend on the gym. But I do try to get out for walks if it's above 30 degrees. Just have to kind of bundle up and dress warm. I actually realize that I like colder weather walks. It can't be frigid, like sub-zero. I can't do that. But if it's above freezing, I can go out for a short walk. So yeah, that's how things are looking like right now. I can't complain. I'm super grateful. And yeah, I think I'll just jump right in to what I wanted to talk about primarily on this episode. One of the things I started this year with was giving in my notice for one of my jobs as a nurse practitioner. I recorded a podcast episode over 3 years ago. I think this was summer 2022, when I shared that I had left my first job as a nurse practitioner after like 6 months, because it just wasn't the right fit for me. I was living in New York at the time, in Queens. I had gotten my first MP job, which was based in the city. So I was commuting every day for like the first 3 months. I was commuting from like central Queens into Midtown Manhattan. And then after those first 3 months, I started working 4 days a week, but it wasn't a reduction of hours. It was just reducing a day. So I was working 4/10s instead of 5/8s, which honestly, I'm not even quite sure if that was better. Because from Tuesday to Friday, I literally had no life. It was just like a 12-hour day from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's even more than 12 hours. Because I would wake up at 7 a.m., get ready, be out of the house by 8. Oh, no. That's not true. I could be up. I could wake up around 8 because I would leave the house by 9, get to the office by 10. My shift was 10 to 8. And then I would be home by 9. So it was a little more than a 12-hour day. And that was Tuesday to Friday. And then I would essentially be trying to recover Saturday to Monday. And it just didn't feel like enough. And not only that, just like restructuring of the administration at that practice and them, you know, changing around rules after I came on board. It just didn't seem like some place I could stay long term. So after 6 months, I gave my notice, and I shared that experience on the podcast. I think that episode is called "I Quit My Job." So here we are, 3.5 years later, and yeah, I am moving on again. So after leaving that first job in 2022, I joined a private practice, which I am very much staying on board with because I just feel like the support I get with that practice is hard to come by. It's hard to find a place where you feel supported and where you feel like your colleagues have your back. So just to make sure I'm clear, I work 2 part-time jobs, which I think I've mentioned on the podcast before. So I'm leaving one of the part-time jobs. And the other one, the one that I joined after my first job, that private practice, I'm staying on for the foreseeable future. And yeah, this job that I'm leaving in a couple of months, I joined them January 2023. And honestly, there are pros and cons to the position, for sure. I think I appreciated what it offered me as far as just like supplemental income at the time and the schedule. It kind of just fit with what I felt I needed. But, you know, I have gotten to a point where I just think it's holding me back more than it is serving me. And I'm ready to move on. And I think I can't fully realize my potential and what I can do for myself as a psych nurse practitioner if I'm still there. Because my next major endeavor career-wise is to launch my own practice. And honestly, behind the scenes, I have been working on logistics and putting nuts and bolts together and getting, you know, my licensing straight and just like everything that needs to be in place so that I can start seeing my own private patients. And honestly, I really don't want to delay that any longer. I really want to get that going once I come back from maternity leave later this year. But what I decided that I wanted to do is I wanted to let this job go entirely, which is not something everyone would decide. And I respect that 100%. Some folks may just decide to start small and ramp up, like decide to leave their job once they feel comfortable enough with their patient panel that they have built with their own private practice. But the reason why I feel comfortable enough to do this is because I have been working for over the last 6 months to a year just on building a network of just people in the Chicagoland area, kind of getting to know people in the counseling space who would be resources as far as, you know, patient referrals and building up at a decent pace. And I'm pretty confident that I will be able to get to a decent point as far as my patient load and that it wouldn't take too long. And I feel pretty comfortable enough to, I feel comfortable and so much so that I'm making this decision. Also too, like I said, I feel like this job is holding me back. I feel like it is one of those positions in mental health where there's not much room to be creative in your treatment. Not saying you're going off protocol or standardized, you know, treatment, but like being able to spend time with the patients, being able to really get to know them the way I have been able to with my other job at the private practice. I don't get that with this job. It's very much a clock in, clock out, see my patients, finish my shift and go my way. And I don't feel a sense of purpose or fulfillment with this position. Like I said, it's had its pros. It is a steady paycheck. My compensation is not based off of whether my patients show up or not. You know, so there is a degree of stability that it has afforded me. But sometimes you just get to a point where it's just not doing it for you anymore. And for a while, I have just, you know, not really looked forward to this time, like this part of my week when I'm working this position. I often feel relieved once I get over the hump of those 2 days in the week where I'm working it part time. And with getting pregnant and anticipating this baby, I felt like with this being a major season of life transition for me, why not just throw on, why not just add, you know, quitting my job on top of it? So yeah, there are a handful of reasons why I'm doing this, because I have faith in my capabilities as an NP, so much so that I know that I'd be successful on my own. Also because I feel like it's holding me back. Also, I feel like because it's the right time. Some folks may think I'm crazy. You're about to have a baby and you're giving up steady income. Yeah, you know, that's one way to see it. But I am also grateful that in deciding to have my first kid in my mid-30s after working a pretty secure and stable career for the past almost 4 years, or pretty much 4 years post-graduating, I've been able to save a good amount of money, enough so that I can be pretty comfortable on savings for maternity leave and while I'm building the practice on top of still working my part-time job. So the risk there is pretty low and I am confident in this plan and I'm betting on myself. I'm betting on myself this 2026. I'm not gonna let fear dictate my decision making, because fear would mean staying in this job because I'm having a baby and I need the steady income. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I know, honestly, the thought of staying in this position that I'm leaving longer than I planned honestly makes me sad. And it's really nothing against the job. I just think it's not, like I keep saying, it doesn't serve me anymore. Where I was probably in a more neutral or optimistic space starting out, I am finding myself in a more pessimistic space. And I know that it just means it's time for me to go. And some things that I want to do to help grow the practice, I wouldn't be able to do that if I still am holding on to this job. So I'm shedding it. I'm letting it go. And I've done it officially. I gave my notice last week. And it felt so good. It felt so good. I was a little nervous beforehand because I was like, once I do this, it's done. If there is the slightest inkling of me wanting to change my mind, I still have time, but I followed through. And once I sent my notice to my supervising physician and then sent my notice to the administration, it was done. And I had did it. And it felt so good. And I was like, okay, like the countdown clock is now set. I have a last day at this position, and then I can officially move on. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I know this year is going to be like none other I've ever lived, simply because I'm going to be a mother. And I'm going to have a child to take care of. And the duo that has been my husband and I will now be a trio. And we're going to be navigating this new journey and time in our lives. But I'm very much up for the challenge. And I am excited for the fact that I'm going to be able to entirely shift my focus away from work for an extended period of time. And I am excited that the life that I'm leaving behind when I go on maternity leave is not the life I'm coming back to. It's going to be a different life. It's going to be new in different ways. And it kind of excites me. I know it'll have its own challenges and moments where I just have to kind of figure things out. But I'm excited to get to that point, to need to figure things out that are new and that challenge me. And that forced me to grow, and that forced me to kind of step out of my comfort zone in certain ways. So yeah, I am curious to see how the year unfolds. I very much plan on continuing the podcast through postpartum. I think it'll be a very necessary outlet for me to kind of process how I'm feeling. So you guys will be along for the ride. I am sharing this because anyone who's listening, if you have been debating going back and forth about, should I do this? Should I step out on faith? Should I take this risk? If you are deciding based on fear, then I encourage you to kind of interrogate that. What are you scared of? What are you scared of? Are you scared that you're going to fail? Are you scared that you're going to be so successful that now more is expected of you and that you have more responsibility and now you have to step up? Because sometimes that's what the fear is. Yeah, I said I wasn't going to let fear dictate this decision, and I'm so glad that I didn't. So as I'm betting on myself this year, I'm encouraging folks to bet on themselves. If they know they have something in them they have been wanting to devote time to, maybe it's not quitting a job. Maybe it's not quitting a job, but maybe it is quitting a job. Maybe it's leaving somewhere that you know you have been in for too long, whether it's a job, whether it's something else, and you have been scared of what is on the other side of that major decision. If deep down you know doing it and leaving is the right decision, I encourage you to do so. You know, don't do it recklessly or haphazardly. Don't leave yourself hanging. As much as you can, make sure you have a plan. Make sure you have a safety net. But if you're able, if you have something in you and it's been kind of brewing and it's been wanting to come out, and maybe you're being held back because of the current position you're in, see what it looks like for you to transition. Maybe it's not an overnight transition. Maybe it's a plan you make over 3 months, 6 months. At the same time, we have to be careful not to get stuck in the planning phase and the strategizing phase because we're fearful of executing. So there's a lot to think about. But there's nothing wrong with deciding you want to be in a different place in 6 months, you want to be in a different place in 12 months, and that means you have to start getting your balls rolling now. Because to get to this point for me, I had to start planning last year. And it can feel sometimes like time is not moving, things are not progressing, but then you blink and you're in your third trimester and you've given your notice at your job and you're about to be a mom and you're just like, where did the time go? So time is funny that way. Don't underestimate time. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys coming into the new year. Bet on yourself. Bet on yourself. You are so much more capable of what you think you are. You have so much more in you than you think you do. And it's really just figuring out, is there anything in your life presently that's holding you back from realizing what you could really see in yourself? I think I'll end the podcast episode here. Honestly, I didn't want it to be too long. This week is pretty busy for me, and I need to be mindful about the amount of editing time that I have. But we are coming back with the next episode, starting Matriarch by Tina Knowles. I know I've been saying this for like 3-4 podcast episodes. I'm so sorry. I'm still reading. I am in the motherhood section of her book. She has had Beyonce. She has had Solange. She is launching her hair salon headliners. So that's where I am right now. I think I'm far enough in the book to at least record a part one of my reaction. And it's been a really good book. I really enjoyed it. I have struggled with my momentum with starting and stopping because of a lot of things, but I'm going to finish it. And I think it'll be a book that I remember reading fondly. So expect part one of Matriarch by Tina Knowles, my reactions to the book so far, with the next podcast episode. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Congratulations to this podcast for hitting its 100th episode. Thank you guys so much. Feel free to reach out to me at contact@theLettersAndLayers.com. Hit me up on Instagram @theLettersAndLayersPod. My link to my YouTube will also be in the description. I'm still working on getting things updated, but please bear with me. I'm doing all this by myself. So in due time. And yeah, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. I hope whenever you're listening, you have a good rest of your day or week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.